hilarious to him when I said, well, I'm not. There's no reason why he thinks he knows who he is. But the idea of having to test his, who should be his Eloi, in order to secure his homecoming is a big part of his return. And the sequence it goes through, we start with very simple relationships where he doesn't have to test them very long. He understands their loyalty immediately. And they believe them immediately. They don't need as much proof as later characters do. And so the sequence of relationships gets more and more complex as you go through the reconnection. And more and more anxiety about whether that reconnection is going to be made or not. But does anyone have anything more to share?
I was wondering if there's something specific in, about how he always uses the word alete, to say like kind of speaking the truth when he's not speaking the truth. Like he's always when he's lying about who he is.
Right.
Is that, I mean, a specific device they're using, or I mean, is it some kind of specific test that he always, does the word indicate that, or is that really just things that are true?
It's just a basic word for being true. But does anyone else think about the truth?
He's just a great guy.
He is a great guy. Actually, a colleague of mine has talked about the genre of fiction within the story. And, I mean, so it is more complicated about the kinds of stories he tells and how he represents himself.
Just seems like he only used that word
when he's about to lie. Yeah. But there's one in here where it says he kept on saying many false things as though they were true. So it again is a, it's how you tell a story. It's again a very conscious thinking about storytelling. I think that shows up. But he is a good liar. He knows he has to tell some truth to get a believable lie as well. But any other thoughts about Penelope? One short passage that I wanted to look at, and I've already warned some of you about that is a good example of what we're talking about when we talk about close reading. And so it's kind of thing that has to do with instrument. So like they're going off and myself and I mean when I say that. It's not everything we listen to. Yeah, it's just going to be passages for you to explain. Yep. We have practice right now. We have to decide this week. So it'll be somewhere around, yes. It'll be somewhere in the vicinity of 7. You'll have seen them before if you've done the reading.
Oh, so it's not like an analytical essay about each one.
Yes, it's just very, like, couple paragraphs.
Are we supposed to finish it?
Are we supposed to finish the test? Yes. Yes, yes, you are. So page 191 is when Odysseus is first time going to his house and he's disguised. Remember at this point as the old beggar. And so he and Eumaeus, his wanderers, yeah, I've seen the word wander so many times. are going into the house. And at line 290, it says, as they were thus talking, a dog that had been lying asleep raised his head and pricked up his ears. This was Argos, whom Odysseus had bred before setting out for Troy, but he had never had any work out of them. In the old days, he used to be taken out by the young men when they were hunting wild goats or deer or hares, but now that his master was gone, he was lying neglected on the heap of the only cow dung that lay in front of his stable doors, so the man should come and draw the way from the manure of the bird field. And he was full of fleas. As soon as he saw Odysseus standing there, he dropped his ears and wagged his tail, but he could not get close up to his master. When Odysseus saw the dog on the other side of the yard, he dashed a tear from his eyes without Eumaeus seeing it. And then he said, so what's this beautiful dog I saw? but it's the description of the dog, and then we find out that the dog dies, right, because he's very happy. And so, at line 324, he spoke to him by a billing to the hall where the students were, but Argus died as soon as he recognized his master. So here we have a scene of recognition, right, of the dispute. That he recognizes him even though he's disguised. And he's so overjoyed at his homecoming that he dies.
I read across him, the other passage that you think of is when he was first goes to the swineherd, and the dogs that, normally would probably recognize that. They're his dog, but it's they almost came apart. And the swineherd asked, because they just seem like that he's just some, stranger or whatever. But, and I think I actually talked about this on the web thing, but since he was, basically being reborn, I thought it signifies that now he's, back crossing the threshold, back in like real life or whatever, and on his own, in his own household. That since his dog can recognize him, it signifies that he's almost complete. He's almost ready to reemerge into Odysseus, and his nosos is almost completed. So, whereas every other time, you see all these examples, people don't recognize him,
right,
five to him. It's one of the first signs of recognition.
Good. So here, and what is that? What would we say about the relationship between Argos and Odysseus?
Pretty amazing. After 20 years, the dog recognized us. The dog's still alive for that.
Well, yes. We're all not near death. But he recognized me, though he's a disguise. And so it's a very straightforward,
unconditional love of the dog.
Kind of relationship, right? The dog knows who his master is. And so, it's not. And Odysseus, of course, has this sympathy for his poor old dog, right? He has to wipe his tear away without anyone seeing it. So there's a straightforward recognition. So what are some of the details of the description of the dog that are significant?
Yeah, I was just going to say that Odysseus doesn't have to be anything. For the dog, he doesn't have much to be faithful to the dog, he doesn't love the dog or anything like that. All the dog cares about is that it is him, and the relationship is the simplest type of relationship that there needs to be, and this is it. There's no more proofs unique for a person or for his wife.
Right, so the recognition is instantaneous and mutual, and that there's not, we don't see the testing and the concern.
When he describes about how in old days he used to be much bigger than now, he's waited and collected. It kind of reminds, reinforces how everything has sort of gone awry with Odysseus' absence, and now that he's come back, everything's just about to go right the way it should be.
What would you mean?
Yeah, on the same lines that he used to be taken out by the young man, and then hunting wild goats, and now he's going to be the only young men around the house now with scooters. And they have no respect for Odysseus, and no respect for his homestead, and dog Argos, since he was very much probably the closest thing to, metaphorically speaking, of Odysseus that remains, and they, Argos are hunting and hunting, and it's just, indicator of, the decay of this house and the dog, because of his scooters.
Mm-hmm. Is there, Joe? You can't see your
difference in your part of the answer, but Joe? It just seems to me the description of Argos parallels the description of Odysseus right now, especially the decrepit state that he's making play at, that he's in right now, and also the state that he was in during the during his travels when he was in sort of the lowest points, his state. And it almost seems to me that Argos was proxy for Odysseus almost. Point proxy the only remaining tenable link, or one of the few tenable links, to Odysseus and the minds of people there. Athletes, who's a crystal that loses strength, and I don't think he's back his money in his.
Okay,
in some sense, like, he's got, he's been guarding the house for 3 years. And now he can finally rest. His master's there. He can
finally.
I thought also, Sonia, when you were saying that the dog, in some sense, was representative then of the degradation of the state of the for right now, that Odysseus returns. Power of his return is enough to kill the dog, enough to encourage the degradation, so a precursor to much larger encouraging.
It's a little challenge.
All these comments are excellent, and they would all be explanation on the nature if you were to see those questions. To use a few terms, when we talk about Odysseus and looking like or Argos is looking like Odysseus, right? He's in the same state as Odysseus is now. We might say that Argos is the metaphor for Odysseus, right? But he's substituted for Odysseus, right? We talk about metaphor substitution. So the state of Odysseus is, or the state of the dog is like the state of Odysseus, therefore he's an evidence. But as you guys are talking about, Argos is a bad name for the house. Right, he's representative of all of the abuse of Odysseus's estate, right, and the change that has gone on in Odysseus's absence. So we hear about what it was like before, and now we see what's happened to the poor dog at this point. But he's, you know, that man is connection, or in a very limited sense, part for the whole, right? So Argos is symbolic of the metonym for the entire state and what's going on there. So this is actually quite an amazing passage that is both metaphor and at the same time. And also, you know, the important points brought out about the what this means for the homecoming of Odysseus, how it's you know, an important symbol for what's about to happen with his homecoming. That, and again, the idea that Argos is a stand-in for Odysseus, and again, the metaphor idea. And now that Odysseus is back, he can finally rest his for by himself. Out of joy from the recognition. So, these are the kinds of details that we're looking for you to bring out for these passages. So that helps make it concrete in your mind. Any other thoughts or questions, Matt?
I know the time scale is weird, but is there a chance that, like, there's some meaning to the fact that dogs are not older than it should be, and, like, there's something out of order about the dogs that are not too good to be exactly the same characters, something where it shouldn't be, where it's still?
Right, he hasn't given up for 20 years, just like his master hasn't given the idea that they can be metaphors for one another.
What was the distance of this now anyway? Three years, 4 years, or
Or is it too soon?
Like with Achilles, it's just 7 minutes. I mean, you know, we have Achilles, you know, has a son that comes to the war. So it's kind of out of whack. I think I'm reading this for next week. The heroic of this happens on Achilles. They actually wonder about that. And how could he have some? But yeah, Odysseus, I don't know if he has to be.
That's the first thing.
There's also, at the, in Helen's Lament, she talks about how she's been there for 20 years. And I'm like, so 10 and 20, big round numbers like that. It just mean a long time.
Okay.
I had to count on all my fingers and all my toes to get up to 20, so. Matt, do you want to say something? Okay. So I'll
hold on. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you think it's significant that he did not get close up to his master? Because he was kind of like doing damage and committing to getting close up to his master instead of dying or something like that. But he's sort of like, or maybe it's just like that he doesn't even need to like touch his master to like have him
to like get
that
kind of
contact.
Right.
So
I think
it's about. It might also be just like important
for the plot,
like,
you know.
Not
to yeah.
Maybe just to represent the Sears, you know,
Yeah, parasite.
He has parasite all over the place. The fact that the dog can't approach Jesus could just be symbolic of the fact that although Jesus is returned, I mean, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the beginning of the same in this way.
So yeah, I mean, he can't expose him yet at this point, as you're saying, but also, you know, it's not complete yet. He's just
well,
on the threshold.
Well, that's a metaphor for Odysseus. I mean, for the
dog.
It's
like a split screen.
Well,
we have two actors playing different
parts. Well, for the dog, the only thing Odysseus is doing is, like, a poem. Because, like, when he was in Odysseus, it was, like, it was previously. So, you can see the metaphor of Odysseus and Scott for 10 years trying to find home. He can just, like, pick up and walk home. It's not that easy. So, it's kind of an obstacle.
Mm-hmm.
To get it home, they're with you.
Yeah. I mean, he's off that dog. I don't remember if he only gets, you know, 10 lines. You have to remember. Four lines, so, here we have a very simple recognition scene. We talked about Penelope as infinitely more complex. But who's the last person he recognizes? This is the mayor of these. Yes, both and why do you think that is? Why is the relationship with his father the most complex if our ascending order is
that is, again, the story of the fathers and so on, and their connections. So, first, I'm just kidding. Your hand is really united, like, very disarmed, just like, you know, going face to face, so, this is the fathers, you know, so.
Reunification with his father is sort of like a definitely take back.
My dad's not a king.
To bring him back in order to the grandfather and the father and the son.
So after, I think these are all important elements in the idea of fathers and sons and the connection between them. And we've been talking about Penelope as the key to his successful homecoming. And some okay, scholars.
Yes, I did. One thing that I read, it was somewhere, it was even the Iliad, honestly, I don't remember where it was, but it said that, it talks about fathers and sons, and they said that, whenever fathers are really, they're great heroes, like Achilles, their sons never rise up to their standards, and it kind of seems like here that Laertes was someone who's respected in his community, but he never achieved that hero status, and now Odysseus is the hero of the Odyssey, and Telemachus, he kind of mocked not up to those standards, but even though they kind of tried. I find that interesting how it seems like every... It's mentioned by one of the characters saying that...
And
some
of
them... ...the innocence of the ...never rise up to those standards that they're following. Because I was thinking that if that was the case, then Telemachus probably would have already killed all the suitors and... Just been done with, like Agamemnon or something. But.
Do you guys know our passion?
It's really early in Greece.
Yes.
It's full of Romans.
The part where Romans, the part that sticks out of my mind where it says you never really know who your father is or anyone. Or did he care? Because he said to him something about him. But yeah, the living up to who your father is again is part of the epic connection that we've been talking about.
Yeah, it used to be like the king of Ithaca,
Yeah,